Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we close out our study of Ephesians chapter 1, covering verses 15 through 23 in a message titled, It's All About Jesus. In this study, we will see that Paul's call for love, unity, and prayer for one another is based upon sound doctrine and biblical faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The modern evangelical church is largely an apostate movement of churches interested only in large numbers, big offerings, and a unity that is not based in truth. And we will show you examples. But before going on to the study, let's look at a letter we love. This one comes from Brother Matt in Lansing, Michigan. And Matt writes, Pastor Greg, just wanted to say hello from Lansing, Michigan, and let you know that I appreciate and thank God for your sermons. They have helped me a lot in my walk with God. And after describing how the Lord brought him out of using perverted New Bible versions and Calvinism, and while helping him confirm his faith in the pre-trib rapture, Matt continues his letter saying, Your teaching is solid, biblical, and refreshing. Praise God, and thank you, Pastor Greg, for your dedication and for standing firm. Even though my wife and I go to a local KJV-only church, I consider BBF Ohio my church. It may sound funny since I have never come down there, and you don't know me from Adam, but it kind of feels like I know you guys through the videos. We'll come down to see you or visit you soon and bring licorice. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to read my email. I attached two photos of my wife and I and my Bible. His wife's name is Jennifer. God bless. Keep fighting. Brother Matt, and his name is Matt Campbell of Lansing, Michigan. Thank you for writing, Brother Matt, and we will respond with a personal email, but we do appreciate the testimony and the words of encouragement. And we always welcome visitors to our little country church in the suburb of Worthington, just outside of Columbus, Ohio. And if you'd like to write to us, you can send your email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's 3 B's, the letter F, ohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter by U.S. Postal by sending it to Bible Believers Fellowship at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and we've titled this message, It's All About Jesus. This is part 1 of 2.
Amen. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to cover verses 15 to 23. And it's all about Jesus. By the way, if I lose my voice during the study, there's why. The pollen count only goes to here, and we're there. Tomorrow it's going to be right here. So I will be hibernating tomorrow. But that's what you're dealing with. Oak, poplar, maple, just FYI. So I think we'll be all right. I've got my coffee here. And we'll begin in verse 15. I'm going to read a few verses, so read along with me. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. Amen? Now, did that seem like a lot of reading? Some of you? Did you notice it was one sentence? Yeah, there's no period from until you get right there at the end of verse 23. Now, I used to get counted off for, doing that when I was in school. The English teacher. But you know what the English teacher need to realize? God's the one that made language. And because you hear that as a criticism, by the way, the King James Bible. And when you read the new versions, they'll break these things down and everything. And, I believe God gave us a perfect book in the King James Bible. And I don't want it watered down. And that's why I call them the watered down baby Bibles. Because they not only are using the wrong text when they give you these new versions, but they water them down and they basically ruin the Bible when you read them and you compare them. But Paul has laid down some fundamental truths in his opening that we've read prior in our studies up to this point. We're not going to retread all those. How many of you heard a teacher teach, and when he goes on to the next message, he repeats everything he heard the previous times, and you're like, I was here for that. I'm not going to do that to you. So after laying down this fundamental truths that we saw in the opening, he then says this, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I want you to focus on this for a moment, because what we have today is that you'll hear a lot of people saying, oh, I'm thinking of you, and oh, I love you, and I pray for you. But they leave out the fact of what we sang in a couple of our songs this morning, is that our love and our unity is only genuinely biblical if it's based in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What you have today is a baseless fellowship among professing Christians. You have an empty relationship with one another. And it's shallow and it's not genuine. There's nothing better than good Christian fellowship. Amen? Amen. I mean, when Christians get along and they are in good fellowship with one another, and not just in meetings, but even when we are able to spend time with each other outside of the local church meetings, we get together and we can just sit around and talk. And whenever it's rooted in biblical truth, it's good. What I've experienced, though, is that a lot of times people, will invite me over or want to hang out with me, and they have an agenda. They'll invite me over and feed me a Schmitz brat or something, and I'm like, oh, this is good stuff, But then they drop the bomb after we're done eating, and they want to fix me. They want to straighten me out on something. I've had them invite me out for coffee and want to straighten me out on the King James Bible and tell me how the King James isn't really the infallible Word of God, and you need to... And they, a lot of times, they always appeal to numbers. I've had this happen numerous times. They'll appeal to the fact that I'd have more people to preach to on Sundays and Wednesdays if I wouldn't take this stand for the King James Bible. And folks, that's why a lot of preachers have compromised on that issue, so they could have more numbers. Now, I'm glad y'all showed up. We only, a few of you showed up before the music and prayer was over with. I'm glad you show up. But let me tell you something. If there's five or six of you here, that's all I would need. I would preach to the five or six. And I would preach the King James Bible. And I've had them try to fix me on dispensations. and tell me about all the conspiracy theories about dispensations. And I've had them try to fix me on eternal security. And how, you know, it's not that easy, brother. There's more to it than that, brother. And I've had them try to fix me on the rapture. I've had them try to fix me on Israel. And guess what? They didn't fix me. If that's being broke, then I'll stay broke. Amen? But they also made it clear that there was not going to be healthy, good fellowship between us. Because their fellowship with me was with an agenda. And folks, I'm here to tell you, a lot of the times when people are Christian, Christian friends and family, when they try to draw you in, they've got an agenda. And let's just face it, let's just be honest. A lot of times, that's what our agenda is. I'm not going to lie. A lot of times when I talk to other people, it's to try to help them see the light. I mean, I'll go out to eat with an unsaved guy. I want to talk to him about the gospel. I want to talk to him about Jesus. But see, what I normally try to do is be upfront about it. You know, I don't try to bait and hook and pull them in. Yeah. I mean, we are fishers of men, but you look in the Bible, they didn't hook and reel them in. That ain't the kind of fishing they did. They threw out the net and pulled them in. And that's what we do with the gospel. We just put the gospel out there, and then we reel the net in, the gospel in, and those who want to come can come. Amen? That's the kind of fishing we do. And there's a lot of people who will invite you out and try to take you under their wing, and they've got an agenda, and you better have some discernment and be able to deal with that. And what happens, though, a lot of times, even in local churches, that happens. And so people will come in with an agenda, and they start trying to change things. We've had a couple of people who have had this happen where Calvinists came into the church, and they kind of stayed under the radar, and then they brought other Calvinists in, and they all stayed. It was like an orchestrated takeover of a local church. And then the pastor finally passes away, retires, moves away, and then they try to bring in a Calvinist. And when they do, and then once he comes in, then he changes everything, and the church goes into a spiral where they no longer preach the gospel, and they change the doctrine. And the next thing you know, normally they change the Bible, and they stop preaching the King James Bible. And now just look around you. That's what's happened in thousands of churches around the United States of America, and that's why American Christianity is dying. American Christianity is dying as a result of seminaries sending out people who will go into churches and change what the church was based on and founded on. Folks, that's not fellowship. That's not unity. And that causes strife among believers. And what Paul is saying is that he thanked the Lord for these people who had faith, not in some ism or some cultic doctrine, but they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he prayed for them, and he wanted to see them grow. That's what true fellowship is all about. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints. See, it's not just love. It's based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without this foundation, there is no true love. There is no real fellowship with God or with the saints. If you say this morning that you love God and yet you don't have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, you don't love God. And if you tell me, well, I love you, brother. If you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're not my brother. That's an unpopular message, but it's the truth. And that describes modern Laodicean Christianity. I want to tell you something before I get into this. I'm never going to stop exposing what's going on in the Christian church today. I'm never going to stop warning you. As we go through the Scripture, we see these examples, we see these exhortations. And I am not going to live in Fruitville or Fairyland. I am going to show you what's really going on in the world that you live in, from day to day, and dealing with what's really going on in the church today. And this is swept America.
And they no longer care about the Bible. They no longer care about doctrine. They're just all about hype and numbers. And this is what's being put forth then to the world as Christianity.
Including the people at Lakewood Church in Houston. The pastors of this megachurch, Joel and Victoria Osteen, have agreed to meet with me before the service begins and let me in on their philosophy.
I want to leave them something that they can use this afternoon. So I don't go a lot of doctrine, and you know, I go practical. Today I'm talking about, you know, using what God's given you, and so when you leave, you'll say, you know what, it was worth me going to church today. Well, let me ask you, can we pray? We got about 1 minute. We're going to talk about this. I'm just going to pray. Okay, yeah, Lord, we can pray with this, Lord. Thank you for this day.
Yes.
And Lord, all the people that have come out, many are going to watch on television, listen on the radio, and we just ask you that you'd give us the words to speak, that every person would feel your presence, your power, that they'd feel encouragement and hope and inspiration, that you'd know that you have them in the palm of your hand. We just ask you, Father, for a great service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It's very honored to have you.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here.
We'll catch you afterwards.
Gotta watch it.
Love it. Coming.
You'll be dancing before you know it.
Doesn't take much to get me started.
Today with you. See, we were designed to function our best when we are connected to God. You've got power on the inside you can rely on.
Don't live life in neutral, not passionate, not intentional, not focused. Stir up what God's given you. Dare to take those steps of faith.
I'm asked a flat out question. Who is God?
I believe God is our Father, the Creator, somebody that gives us purpose and destiny. Well, sometimes it's hard for people to say, how can I believe in something I can't see? But it's what you choose to believe through faith.
What you choose to believe through faith.
When Jesus came, he said, look, I want you to come to me. And so I tell people, you can talk to God all through the day like you talk to your friend. In your thoughts, you can say, God, you know, thank you for this day. I think that God can be as involved in your life as much as you want him to be. So that's what we try to teach people, to get God out of your Sunday morning box.
God has been a lot of things to a lot of people. And now, here, you're making God personal.
Yes.
Approachable.
Yes.
And helpful.
That's right.
The life of God lives and dwells in us. And it's a spiritual life. It's your spiritual power on the inside of you. And that is what we need to tap into.
That was quite a show. That was quite a show. Maybe 10,000 people worshiping, celebrating. That was quite a show.
That was quite a show. Now, I tell you, I'm not going to put you on a spot here and quiz you, but if you didn't see what was wrong with that, you lack spiritual discernment, and that's why we're talking about it. He named Jesus one time at the end of his prayer. Nothing in that entire message, and I gave you a lengthy clip, and you can watch the whole thing, and your tapping into the power in you has nothing to do with being born again and having the Holy Spirit in you because you've been saved. And that's why that place is filled, 10,000 people, and a lot of them don't even profess to be Christians. Oprah Winfrey feels comfortable in that church. Morgan Freeman, we're going to play a clip from him. He's totally New Age. He thinks he's God. And he felt right at home there. Because no one told Morgan, you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Without salvation, you're damned to hell. But Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. And if you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, you'll be saved. That message wasn't preached. And he walked out of there impressed. That was quite a show. And that is going on in churches all over the country right now. Has been all over the world previously, as the sun comes up and goes down all over the globe. You just have one church after another, and this is what they're teaching. This is what they're preaching. Totally void of biblical Christianity and comfortable to anybody and everybody. Even atheists go to these churches and never feel out of place. You say, well, don't you want them to feel comfortable? No, we want them to understand they're out of place. They need to be born again. We love them enough not to make them feel comfortable all the way to hell. And that's what Joel is doing. He's making everybody feel comfortable all the way straight to the pit. That's not love, folks. What Paul was talking about was real love. Paul loved those people in Ephesus to preach the truth. He loved them enough to tell them they need saved. He loved them enough to encourage them to grow spiritually and to preach the gospel to other lost people. And that our unity and our love for one another is rooted in that.
Joel loves money.
That's right. That's all about the money. Other than ending his prayer in Jesus' name, there was no mention of Jesus or the gospel itself. There was no substance. There was no doctrine. Did you catch that? He said it. Listen to Joel again.
I don't go a lot of doctrine, and I go practical.
All Scripture is given
by inspiration
of God for practical use. That's what he's saying. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. You're not preaching doctrine. You're not a Bible preacher. The Bible itself is given for the purpose of doctrine. Not a lot of doctrine, huh? 2 Timothy 4:3 predicted Joel and all this entire movement today. For the time will come. I'm not changing the Bible, but I'm just informing you. You have arrived. When Paul wrote this, he said the time will come. We have arrived. The time is now when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, and money is behind most of it, shall they heap to themselves teachers. Now I want you to look close. We've gone over this a couple times over the years. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know who is condemned by that verse? Isn't Joel. It's the 10,000. They have heaped to themselves a teacher because they have itching ears. They wouldn't be caught dead in a church like this. They're not here for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is simply the teaching of the Scripture that God wants you to know for salvation and for sanctification and for your glorification in the end. Without doctrine, you don't have anything. As a matter of fact, this is the worst thing about it. It's a lie. Because if you teach anything, you're teaching doctrine. What Joel is basically saying without saying it is, he is not teaching you biblical doctrine. He's teaching you Joel doctrine. And Joel doctrine is to make you feel comfortable no matter where you are. I don't want you to feel comfortable. Listen to me close. I love you. And I love you enough to hack you off this morning. I love you enough to just tick you off and have you walking out of here angry at me. I love you that much. Because I love you enough that I want you to hear the truth. If you're in error or in sin, I want you to squirm in your chair all day long. And may the Holy Ghost then coming over you with conviction bring you either literally or at least spiritually, figuratively speaking, to your knees where you get things right with Him. That's what it's all about. Now, cast aside doctrine, and this is what you get. And I'm telling you, this is what is being produced in these churches. What you see here.
You ask me who God is, I would say there's a bit of the divine in all of us. There's God in you, there's God in me. The God in me is who I really am at my core. The God in me is the best version of me. The God in me is who I strive to be, who I was meant to be.
The God in him is him. And how many times he said, I. That's the I am. You remember we taught that? We showed you how they're teaching the I am, where you're being taught to say I am and then fill in the blank with positive things. Joel wrote one of those books too. And that's a lost man who just went to Lakewood Church and was not told he was lost. Was not told how to be saved. Was not told he needed to be saved. Was not given the gospel. And he just walked out of there thinking he's okay. Folks, that's satanic. You think that putting on a black robe and burning incense and having black masses and cutting throats of birds and splashing blood around is satanic? Hey, that's not as bad as this. If someone sees that, they know, oh, this is bad. I got to get out of here. What they're getting here is satanic because it is an angel of light. And that's how Satan's going to get you. This morning, I want you to hear this. Satan's going to get you with an angel of light. He's not going to get you with 666 and satanic Bible and some guy walking around with a hat on that has horns like Anton LaVey used to out of the Church of Satan in California. That guy was no danger to anybody who wasn't already fried in the brain. This is the danger. A fake Christianity. Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. Put your eyes on Revelation 3 real good and hard if you don't understand what I'm talking about. So by contrast, true love is founded upon our faith. And did you see Morgan Freeman's eyes light up when Joel said it was what you choose to believe? That's how he defined faith. Amen. You don't define faith by what you choose to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is what God says, and all you're doing is receiving it. And that's what true love is founded on as Christians, as believers, in our relationship with the Lord. True love is founded upon our faith that is based in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We mentioned in our prayer time. And folks, some of you may not be able to make it, but you really ought to be here for the prayer time if you can be, because I'm telling you, you need to be a person of prayer. Now, don't take me wrong. I know some of you drove a long way. Take me wrong. I'm not chewing you out or anything. I'm just saying, some of you can't be here because of work or distance. Sometimes you're going to be late. But if you can be here, just saying, if you can be here, try to get here for that. Because we have to be people of prayer. We do this on purpose. You may think it's a little long and drug out, but we do this on purpose. The dead church is a prayerless church. These churches, even the fundamental ones, sometimes you go to and it's dead. Why? Because they don't pray. And singing. I don't care if you don't like your voice. God does. Sing. Amen. Sing.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.